What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, Fightful.com. It is December 27th, 2021. This is our last WWE Raw post-show of the year. My God. We got Denise Salcedo here making herself look short for me.
I'm trying to make myself look shorter for you because I saw that when we went live, I was still taller than you. So I was like, yeah. Oh, I need to shrink in order for Sean to be taller. Yeah.
Gotta
I don't
do
know
it.
Why you feel the need to be taller than me on this show. Like,
I got to keep up appearances, okay?
Sean, we're sitting down. We're virtual. The people know you're taller.
There are so many people, though, that when they meet me, they're like, I don't want to give away if I'm tall or not, but they're like, I never imagined you with legs. Like that type of thing, because they never see me out. Like they just watch the show, right?
I will tell you this. Like the first time I met you, I just like, you look very different. Like virtually than you do in person.
What do you mean? What does that mean?
You just look different. Like you look more like a cartoon in person. Does that make sense?
What? I look like a cartoon.
You look like a cartoon. And for some reason, like I noticed that you also seem like taller in person, but like you're also skinnier in person.
Well, there you go.
My God. I don't know if that's a good thing or not.
Are you saying that I'm fat on camera?
No. And that's why I didn't want to tell you because I didn't want you to say that. And I had been keeping that to myself for months now.
Denise is fat shaming. Legitimately, one of my favorite things in person. Like, you know what? I'll give you a Christmas exclusive, people. I'm 6 feet tall. I'm probably 6 foot one with shoes. But I love how confused everybody is when they meet me because they either think I'm going to be like 6'7 or 5'3. They think it's like a joke and I'm really, really short, or I'm actually really tall, but I'm just a normal size dude. And I can see people like sizing me up and they're like, is he standing like a step up? Is he up higher? Is he wearing high shoes? Is he wearing flat shoes? Like I see it like so much.
But I get the opposite. I get that Denise is very tiny. So
you are very tiny.
Yeah,
you are
very tiny. I don't like it. I don't appreciate it.
Well, guys, please leave a thumbs up. I would greatly appreciate it. Please subscribe. Tap the bell for notifications. Donate a super chat or a humper chat. You can go to humperchats.com and leave us a chat. Even if you're not watching the show live, you can leave them ahead of time. I want to thank you all so much for joining in on our holiday stream last week. It was a major success. We were able to give out some great bonuses to our freelance staff. There's a lot of places that don't really have the benefit of doing that for any number of reasons. I was so happy we were able to bonus our staff. We are very much a publicly funded website. So I want to thank all of you who did that. We've got a lot of great content for you guys this week. If you missed out on the Rampage SmackDown review, we made it a free preview of Sour Graps. Kate and Alex did a review of that. But this week, we've got so much stuff. Tuesday, 1 p.m. Eastern, myself and Jay-Shell Nicole are previewing and making our predictions for day one. On Saturday, Denise and I will be here for day one. Also Tuesday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern, the roundtable is back. I am once again joined by host Shaquille Majuri, and we've got Alicia Atout and Andreas Hale on the show. Make sure you check that out. Wednesday, another Danhausen interview. Oh, it's good. It's good. And then this week, I'm talking to Chuck Palumbo, which I think was so fitting, Denise, considering what we had tonight, which was Eric Bischoff hosting a wedding segment. And I did not know about it when I set the interview to run this Friday. So I'm happy about that. But we got
you
so much going
do
on.
That. You tend to have interesting timing with your interview, Sean.
The Patriot was the wildest. That one I could not have expected. That one was unbelievable. That was
I still remember that. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, very, very unfortunate timing on that one. But guys, please get in super chats, humper chats. I'm also appearing on Ethan Page's vlog and Danhausen's vlog sometime in the near future.
God, you're like so famous, Sean.
I am.
Like, oh, I'm friends with this person. I'm friends with that person. And I'm like skinnier in person and so tall. I'm skinny and tall. I might as well be a runway model. Hire me, Victoria's Secret.
Well, I don't know if I'm Danhausen's friend. He just tries to steal all my shit. So
I was laughing at that photo that you shared, the one where you guys are like playing games or something.
Yeah.
Cause it was funny because you see like, you see them like doing their thing and they're like bonding and you're like in the corner, like somebody be okay. my friend.
So it was supposed to be a shot of all four of us. And then we didn't realize, well, the fourth one is Hornswoggle.
Is he, when he was supposed to be in it.
He can't, what's he going to do? Walk up to the thing? And start playing the arcade game.
That's so funny.
So
I'm gonna go look at the picture again. Hold
so
on.
So he's not in it. But guys, check that out. I had a great time at Toy Vomit, Toy HQ. We've got
but you look like a loner though. Like you look so alone.
I was. See, I'll talk more about the vlog when they run, but like I didn't want to like bogart all their stuff, but Ethan Page was very good about including me in a lot of stuff. Andrew O'Brien says, picturing Sean with super long, spindly legs, like when Kermit the Frog rides a bike. I do have very long, like thin legs. Like I do. I don't know what to say to that, but thank you, I guess. Cadillac Carson says, SRS has legs. Next, you'll tell me he does voiceover work.
Jesus.
I love it. Dan Janoff says, don't watch Raw, but wanted to thank you guys for all that you do. You're great together and separately. Wishing you both nothing but success in 2022. Denise, I feel like we're going to have a few minutes to fill out here. Do you have any New Year's resolutions?
Oh, Sean, do you even know me? Like, do you know what kind of person I am?
It was just a segue to say, yes, I do. Of course I do.
Oh, sorry. Okay, well, to make it short. So last year, I had like 35 bullet points of goals that I wanted to accomplish for 2021. Well, for 2022, I have like a bunch, but I still am not done with the list. So I break everything down into categories.
Do you want to hear some of mine in recent years?
Sure, go right ahead.
To not get any more speeding tickets, which I accomplished.
Oh, don't even get me started on your driving. I'm not even going to get started on your driving because, God, that was a nightmare.
Driver. Fantastic driver.
No.
Another one was to sing less songs about butts, which I did accomplish.
Does that include telling everybody Merry Christmas? You butts? Know it's all
about that butt.
Does that include telling everybody Merry Christmas butts on your personal Instagram account? Matt, I'm just spilling on the Sean Ross sap tea today. Remember.
I made it public again, so it's no big deal. I just got the limit gimmick to where only people that follow me can.
Wait, what? So you have a non-private private Instagram account?
Yeah. So I've got a public Instagram still. I got really annoyed because everybody would like tag it. Like if I would report something, they would tag Sean Ross sap, which is normal. Why wouldn't they? But like on the profile, it says, hey, please tag Fightful Online. And I was just like, yeah, whatever. But now I have it limited to where people have to have followed me for a certain amount of time before they can comment.
Oh, okay. Wow. You have like very intricate settings. I have no settings at all.
There you go. Look at this. Ali C says, Sean was a good driver, but can't confirm for other people's experience. The C's twins.
Sean, I don't even want to reveal how bad your driving was because I just don't want to make you look bad in front of all of your fans, you know, but it was terrible.
It really wasn't. Like, I don't even know what you're
talking about. Yes, it was, Sean. Yes, it was.
It wasn't.
I was terrible. Do you not remember me going, Sean, wait?
No, I remember you about to step out in the middle of the road and me saving your life.
Oh, you do remember that. Okay, yeah, but you don't remember your terrible driving.
I definitely remember that. Big Ticket says, send sap. And Anakin says, Sean and Denise, hope you had a great Christmas. Finally listened to the Chris Van Vliet interviews, and they were great. Sean, have you gotten his Emmy yet? Need to know what you both thought of Hook's second match and Cody winning the title. Cody winning the title, I think he's very self-aware. I think he'll lose it again very soon. I thought Hook did great. I don't quite like selling punches to the body and then no-selling like a Rikishi driver. That's not for me. It's not something I like, but the crowd liked it, and that's what's important. I haven't got Chris Van Vliet's Emmy yet, but please check that out, guys. I appeared on Chris Van Vliet's YouTube, and he appeared on ours. Any quick thoughts on Hook?
Yeah, so first of all, the kid's got aura. Good for him. I mean, like, and we'll probably talk about him more later on. It actually pertains a little bit to our Raw review, believe it or not. There's people that probably didn't watch Raw and weren't on Twitter, and they're like, wait, what does Hook have to do with Raw? Well, you'll find out later on. And then with Cody essentially winning the TNT title, I mean, like, seen it, been there, done that. I wasn't necessarily all that in love with the idea, but whatever. It happened. It gave me something to talk about, and I appreciate that.
So, speaking of Hook, WWE did a bit of a parody, which I found freaking hilarious, of Veer. They said, send Veer. I love it, Denise. And by the way, Fightful Select this week, going to have a little bit of backstage news on Veer coming, how hard he's coming, how often he's coming, when he has been coming, where he has come, a little bit of everything. But man, what do you think of Veer coming all over everything, coming everywhere?
I'm just saying, like, if my man took that long to come, I would be very upset.
Yeah. It's a very tedious experience, isn't it?
Look, all I'm going to say is this, all right? Like, do you think they did it, like, on purpose, the send Veer thing? Do you think, like, the social media person knew what they were doing?
Absolutely, and it's harmless, it's fun. Okay. I love it. I think it was funny as hell. Like, it was very self-aware.
But here's the thing, though, is that it kind of worked like polar opposite where so it kind of worked for both sides of the party here, because you got WWE on one hand, you got like a bunch of engagement off of that. Like, I went and looked at their tweet and it was like over 1,000-something retweets, and they don't always get like over 1,000 retweets on some of the stuff, especially not this that has been posted like a zillion times because we've been waiting for freaking Veer Mahan for like centuries now. So on that end, like, okay, good. You got some engagement. You're getting the engagement. But then over on the AEW Hook side, it's like, ooh, what? You're using our, like, verbiage now? So the Send Hook hashtag started trending. And then did you see the t-shirt, the Send Hook t-shirt that's being promoted?
Yes. Immediately after.
Immediately. Yeah, like, instantly, like, a couple minutes later. So I kind of thought that that was hilarious. So in a way, it's like, okay, well, now all I want for 2022 is Veer versus Hook. That's
it. I want Veer to finally come, and not just come. I want us to see him come. I want to watch Veer Mahan come. That's what I want to do. Omar says Veer greater than Hook. Fears Veer. Nerd Guru says Veer ain't Hook. Let's get that straight, because there ain't no shot they have a plan for Veer. So why even troll like that? Found it cringe. I didn't mind it one bit. I love it when WWE does it. I love it when AEW does it. I think it's harmless fun. It is very, very self-aware stuff. Cyclops says, Step Host isn't a patient host. And J-Blood says, Step Raw, Denise shot out of a cannon tonight. Look at this. Show them what I sent you.
World's greatest Step Host.
Look at that. Look at that.
See, like, we're award-winning, Sean.
We are. John Alba, Chris Van Vliet, who? All you got to do to win an Emmy, Denise, is throw on a tie and appear on a channel with call letters.
That's true.
Nobody else has these.
That's true. I'm the world's greatest Step Host. It's amazing.
I'm the world's greatest dirt sheet boy. Plenty of people have Emmys. Nobody else has these. Mod Matar says, happy holidays, guys. Hoping next year brings more success to the both of you. Well-deserved success. Well, thank you very much. We appreciate you. Paul says, hey, Denise and Sean, hope you're both doing well. The new SRS Christmas song to Denise was funny. That's
Jesus.
Wonderful.
Hey, Sean. So do you know how many like Fightful podcasts I've done this year with you guys?
I would say probably 75.
Oh, shit. You were close. 73. That's what I counted. 73. Unless I like miscounted, I counted 73. Yeah.
Damn. Yeah, and you're doing shows. You're doing shows almost every day now.
Yeah, I did 312 podcasts this year I counted. But anyway, 73 were with Fightful.
Douglas, thank you very much for the donation. Chris Rain says, Humper chat for another Danhausen interview. Hashtag love that Danhausen. I did all that content and I realized, oh shit, I didn't even interview him at Toy Vomit. But I mean, it's like, it happens.
You should have vlogged yourself too, Sean.
I know.
You need to start vlogging. I think your vlogs would be a hit. So everybody can see your scrawny legs.
Yeah. Yeah, they could. Volov says, shout out to Swoggle. Dylan, you're an awesome dude. And then ShotKid29 says, didn't watch Raw, but Darius Lockhart was on Elevation. Thanks SRS and Grapsity for turning me on to him. Also, the Bola field is nuts. Well, if there's one thing we're good at here at Fightful and Grapsity, it's turning you on. So we're so glad that was able to happen. Darius Lockhart should be NWA champion ASAP. They should put the title on him immediately. Graham says that if you want to come like Veer, oh, not today, my friends. Manscaped.com, code Fightful.
You can use, I'm sure if you think hard enough, you can make a Manscaped promo with Veer. Yeah.
I'm sure. So tonight, Denise, we had a lot of absences, not just on screen, but on screen, Bianca, Becky, Seth, Big E, Omos, Vince wasn't there, Kevin Dunn wasn't there, Bruce Pritchard wasn't there, Adam Pearce wasn't there. We will have the producer list on FightfulSelect.com. That's going to be really interesting, Denise, because one, Jimmy Wang Yang went home, so they were going to be shorthanded anyway because his tryout had ended. But a significant portion of the producers were at the Orlando SmackDown house show as well. So there was a lot of people missing. Jay Shell, who will appear on the prediction show tomorrow, said, I really miss Bianca this week. There was a lot of time killing on this show, Denise, from the slow-talking Damian Priest promo to everything in that first segment. We're going to tie this into the first segment because this was a lot of talking. It was fun. It was harmless. But you could tell they were killing time with RK-Bro and Alpha Academy.
They definitely were. And they also did other little things too, like the really long Instagram promotion where they were promoting everybody's Instagram pages. That was like a good like 30 seconds, I feel. And they don't usually do all of that. But there was also that really that pretty long AJ Styles freaking Apollo Crews match that went a lot longer than I was expecting for that to go. So they did kind of extend the show quite a bit. But even then, like, it wasn't a bad show. It was just like a very muted show. I don't know how else to explain it, but like I felt very just like calm. All right, the big thing that they're promoting for the end of the night is that, you know, that the wedding vows, it came, given the fact that I actually watched the show live, like it wasn't as like painful to like get through it. It was perfectly okay, but like it was just felt very, very like a relaxed show.
So Fightful Select reported today that Performance Center talent were told that they no longer had to do their twice weekly testing. I conferred with a main roster talent. They said, yep, we got information that the policy has changed as we posted on Fightful Select. I don't know if that's because of vaccination or adjusted due to vaccination status or whatever, but they had an outbreak last week. So that was very curious timing for that, Denise. Jeremy Lambert did a booty pro wrestling, like sarcastic media call last year, Denise, and sarcastically, he said, well, we don't have any positive tests at Booty Pro Wrestling because we just don't test. That shouldn't be a real thing, Denise.
There was a meme about that. You remember, who's the guy, the one that does this, the meme where he goes like this? That one? Yeah, I saw that meme everywhere. It was like, you can't have COVID if you don't get COVID tested. Continue on.
We do have a little bit of positive news for WWE, though. CDC decrease the recommended quarantine time from 10 days to 5 days. So that's really great news for WWE. But I am still working to find out more about the policy change on the main roster, but NXT, you no longer have to go 2 times a week. That's bad because while the variants aren't as dangerous as before, I mean, you can do that research on your own. Still, infections are at like an 11-month high. So that's questionable. And it very clearly affected their show this week.
So here's, it just doesn't make sense to me, Sean. I don't understand if this is a period where you're getting an outbreak, not just, you know, in other places around the world, but specifically just talking for your company. And then all of a sudden it's the, hey, you don't have to require the testing. That doesn't make sense to me. If anything, I feel like if you had an outbreak, you would probably increase measures and increase testing versus taking it away. I don't understand. That doesn't make sense to me at all. And it's not obviously just WWE. We're seeing it all around right now. There's so many places that we're hearing of more people, you know, get COVID, especially with the people that are unvaccinated and all of this and the new variants. And there's just so much that is, you know, being focused on this right now. There's just so much going on. I just personally do not understand why you would decrease testing, especially right now.
So as we mentioned, there's a very drawn out opening promo with Orton, Riddle, Gable, Riddle. This led to like a banger of a 5-minute match between Riddle and Gable.
Two pretty interesting matches.
And then Randy Orton beat Otis. These were both really fun matches. And like when you see them on paper, you're like, yeah, these are going to be fun.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Randy Orton working a guy like Otis, it reminds me a lot of like a 2010 SmackDown match, and it's good. You want to see a veteran working with a younger, more green guy to make that green person better. And then Riddle and Gable, like, oh my God, I could watch them grapple all day. Riddle and Gable like go in with tiger suplexes and moonsaults into the triangle and stuff like that until Riddle gets the win. A lot of great smooth transitions into an ankle lock. Great stuff. And then I loved afterwards, if you're going to kill time, at least do something that the crowd's going to like. And the crowd just loved Randy Orton hugging Riddle. It was so stupid and corny and cheesy. We saw it like 8 years ago with Kane and Bryan Danielson, but it was fun. And I laughed out loud at Randy Orton teasing the RKO. I thought this was, if you're shorthanded, I thought this was a great way to spend 30 minutes of a 3-hour show.
Yeah, so first of all, I do want to put it over the Chad Gable, Matt Riddle match. And the reason it was like the best way to describe it was a bite-sized enjoyment because it wasn't a very lengthy match, but it was enjoyable. You saw Chad Gable, you know, working the left leg of Matt Riddle and then eventually, you know, hit a really nice suplex that, you know, obviously you would expect from somebody like Chad Gable. Really nice suplexes. We've seen really good bridge work from him, all of that, but we saw that here. Gable essentially going for the ankle lock, you know, right after all of that was fun. When Riddle hit the... when he hit him with the floating bro, I like part of me was like, okay, this is definitely it. This is definitely over. But I kind of wanted to see this match go a little bit longer. I think I would have preferred seeing this match go a lengthier time than we did with the Apollo Crews AJ Styles match, because I really like this. I really enjoyed this match. And then as for Otis and Randy Orton, this one was cool because I like what they're doing so far right now with Chad Gable and Otis. For a while, it was kind of like they were a little bit of a joke on SmackDown. Like, yeah, we were seeing them get taken a little bit more seriously. And a lot of people were talking about how they should have done with taking Otis this seriously, you know, when he had the Money in the Bank briefcase and all of that good stuff. Okay, you come on over to Raw. And now we're actually seeing them treated with a little bit of dignity, a little bit more of respect. And I like that because this match here, what we saw was we saw both Chad Gable and Otis essentially put some good work in there. They both looked really good. And then you still saw, you know, Matt Riddle and Randy Orton essentially win their matches, but they kind of like just won it by like the they barely made it. Like they just like barely got the win for each of them. So I like that because it made Otis and Chad Gable look a lot stronger. So I appreciated that. And I liked all of the, you know, the splashes from Otis when there was a spot where he went to the top rope and he did the splash and Randy Orton like bounced out of there. And then he ended up hitting them with the RKO for the finish. I thought that was a really fun finish. Overall, these two matches back to back were very enjoyable.
Really, really like this. Daniel R. says, I know he doesn't want to be main roster full time, but a Ciampa Orton feud would be so much fun. I think that would be a blast. And I thought these segments, it wasn't like a blast, but this reminded me a lot of like if you're at a house show. This seemed like a house show type of thing. And that was a lot of fun. Rob Reed says, not a horrible Raw tonight. Only a couple things I had issues with. There were no women's matches. That was very telling with Johnny Ace running the show. Well, they were shorthanded. Zelina and Rhea Ripley didn't look like they were there because you got Carmella and Nikki A.S.H. doing the heavy lifting to promote a tag title match, which I haven't seen Rhea and, well, maybe they won like a 10-woman tag or something, but like there's nobody to beat to gain a title shot for those women's titles. I didn't particularly like Nikki A.S.H.'s promo. I thought it was just eh. I thought that Carmella being like, everybody thinks she's a superhero, but, and I'm like, no, nobody thinks she's a superhero. She doesn't even think she's a superhero. That's her whole thing, is that she's doing it for self-confidence. I could have, yeah, could take this or leave it.
Yeah, and then we did have the mixed tag match. I don't even want to count that.
Well, let's really talk not. About it. Dana and Reggie against R-Truth and Tamina, which it was not very good. I didn't like it. Afterwards, Tamina tried to attack R-Truth. She tried to attack everybody. None of it worked. This was rough. But again, that shows you how shorthanded they were.
When you said, oh, let's get into it, I was like, damn it, Denise, why did you bring this up? There's nothing to say about this match. There's absolutely nothing. It was quick. It wasn't noteworthy. You know, God, there was nothing to say. The only thing I can say is nobody Mina the Tamina. That's my favorite thing. But there really isn't anything else to add. I don't know. Reggie and Dana, are they going to be like a thing, or are they just like, they're just friends? What's going on there? They've been teasing that for a bit.
Hope they're just friends. Yeah. Based on, I mean, she dates Yuli Diaz. She's engaged to Ulysses Diaz. It's one of the fastest knockouts in combat sports history.
I had no idea she was engaged.
Oh yeah. He beat up a Twitter troll or an Instagram troll, I think.
Oh yeah. Never mind. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I know now. Thank you. And never mind. Ignore that story. I don't know what's going on.
Hector says, let's see. He says, I love WWE took a shot at Hook. They can't say AEW isn't competition anymore. I don't care. I don't even consider that. I think it's harmless fun. Like, I don't even consider that like competition shit.
I don't even consider that a shot. That's not a shot. I mean, of all the shots in the world to take, that is not a shot.
Yeah. Kenshiro says, Veer's got $1 million arm and still hasn't come. Maybe he should get a refund. Great. Oh, wait, we've got a ton of these.
Reading the super chat. You said refund?
Yeah, a refund. Okay. Cadillac Carson says, if you send Hook to find Veer, Hook will take him out and Veer will never come. Alicia Ellis says, Sean lighting the timeline on fire with that select report. Didn't watch Raw, but here for you all. I did not expect the WWE COVID protocol thing to go the way that it did. I didn't expect it to be like get that much attention. I really didn't.
Thought you would have known. Like the second that came out, the second I saw you post it, I was like, oh, this is definitely going to be like,
well, like maybe a little bit, but I wasn't expecting, good God, I think it was like 1500 retweets. I wasn't expecting that. 1800 retweets. I was not expecting that on that story. I'm working to find out AEW's protocol as well. Like I'm going to try to find that out. Impact, they still do their testing. So I'm working to find out more. And, we do have people asking about the protocol. Daniel R did. And he also said, I always thought you were like 5'6". Nope.
Your height is more over than Raw. You know what? Okay. No. You're going to be at AEW Revolution, right?
Yes. I booked my travel.
Well, there you go. That's going to be one of my segments on my vlog. So don't steal my content, Sean. I'm going to measure you, like your height. We're going to find out how tall you are.
I wanted to take a picture with Layla Hirsch at Winston-Salem with her like 6 inches taller than me. I thought that would have been fun.
Even I'm taller than Layla. I'm not taller than anybody.
Brandon says, at this point, I expect Veer Mahan to pull an Emelina. Well, he's pulling something if he's coming that long. John Vask says, WWE, let's see what's popular on the other show. Amir says, maybe they need to send Hook to find Veer. Rob Reed says, I hope Veer attacks somebody like Finn, and Graves is forced to say, Veer just came on Finn Balor.
No, that would be terrible.
Oh, also, we didn't get Finn Balor versus Austin Theory tonight. That match didn't happen, and it was supposed to happen.
We didn't see Finn Balor tonight.
Nope. Did we see Austin Theory?
Nope, we did not see Austin Theory either.
RK Bro, Heidi Ho says, never was a big Orton fan until his run with Riddle. I love babyface Orton. It's a good change of pace. It really is. 69 Names Deegan says, hello, friends and step host. If you want to look your best when you finally come, use Fightful on manscaped.com.
See, I told you could use it. Bam, he did your homework for
you. Congratulations on the 313 podcast, Denise. Almost as many podcasts as I have names. Happy holidays and happy new year. I mean, she's right. If you're coming as often as Veer, you want to look good while you're doing it. And manscaped.com and the code Fightful gets you there. Look good in the new year. If you've been coming for a year straight, you got to keep your grooming up to date as well. And not just by making sure those pubes are on the right path. Make sure you're on the right path. That Signature Lawnmower 4.0 is here to help you out. They engineered the ultimate groin and body trimmer by focusing on intelligent functionality and a comfortable grooming experience. They reduce grooming accidents thanks to those advanced skin-safe technologies that they use. It's even waterproof. You're confident when you use that 4.0. Leave 2021 and gross pubes in the dust. You can also get the Manscaped Refined Cologne. They have a lot of great formulas that complement your collection. They've got Ultra Premium Body Wash as well. They're taking care of you every time you're grooming in the bathroom. Let's see. I should throw that up there. They're making sure you're covered right there. The face of Manscaped.com, code Fightful, Denise Salcedo. Use the code Fightful for 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com. Did you have that prepared?
Yeah, because I always get rushed and I don't have time to write it and I panic.
Oh my gosh. They've got stuff for your feet. They've got stuff for your ding-a-ling. They got stuff for your body, your hair, all that. Use the code Fightful at manscaped.com. I mean, Denise, apparently you're doing a good job because almost all of our sponsors have renewed us for 2022. So.
I mean, I'm happy, but like, damn.
Helps keep you getting paid.
I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Like, can you give me some direction? Like, what should I do?
Well, Graham says, you're a mean one, Miss Denise. And if your gift sack looks like the Grinch, get Manscaped and the code Fightful. My God, pal. Mott says, was it raw? Now watching on the ride home. Mott, we appreciate you so much. I got Denise that.
Yeah. So I was putting it on this like thing back here and I squeezed it too hard and I forgot that it makes the sound. So I squeezed it and I was like, what the hell is that? And I was like, oh, it's the poop emoji. They gave me instructions too on how to properly handle the poop emoji.
Oh, man. Did you like the socks at least?
I did. I've been wearing them. Actually, I think I'm still I've been wearing the same pairs of socks for 2 days now.
Oh, my gosh. Alicia Ellis says, the way some fans are turning on Keith Lee is so disheartening. Boy, have I hated seeing this. You got people like him saying, or somebody said, I keep watching WWE hoping you'll come back. And he's like, you better stop because they've made enough money off of me since I left. And then a lot of people turned on him. And I'm like, I think back to Brock Lesnar leaving WWE and all the people that are WWE diehards that ride for Brock Lesnar now would have hated him then. And Steve Austin walked out on WWE, Denise. People in WWE said that Triple H had attitude issues in 1996. Mick Foley once walked out on WWE, and a lot of people don't know that, but right after the Montreal Screwjob, Mick Foley was one of the people that walked out. Bret Hart, you know, the Vince McMahon thing, that would have been, I can't imagine, I wasn't on message boards back then, but British Bulldog and Jim Neidhart left. Now, they had a bit more of a reason, but Ken Shamrock left WWE. This is like not a new thing. And he got fired, Denise.
Yeah, I was going to say, these people left. Like, he got released.
He
man.
Got released and was given a terrible gimmick and all this stuff. It's so disheartening.
Terrible gimmick, terrible booking. I mean, like, and we'll talk about, I feel like this will obviously have to come up once we talk about, like, Grayson Waller and all of that. But, like, Jesus, it's hard. It sucks because at the end of the day, like, business is business. And like, what do you want him to do? Like, do you want him to be like, you know, bending over backwards, putting over WWE after they released him? Like, no, he's not going to do that either.
So we got Jorge Sandoval saying, I wonder what Roman is going to think of the no testing guideline due to his health condition. Thanks for your hard work, Sean, and you too, Hollywood. Well, he was not at the Orlando House Show tonight. I'll tell you that much.
Do you think that there's like, well, I mean, I know, never mind. I don't know. Cause I'm wondering, like, you know, you can assume all these different reasons, but it's like, do you think that maybe that the fact that they're not testing was obviously one of those things where it's like, well, now I feel like I'm not, you know, like I'm a little bit in danger.
Possibly, but I don't want to speak for him. We'll find
right,
out.
Right. That was my speculation. Like when I saw that, I was like, like, I don't know. I just put two and two together.
Also, WWE doing, like, I don't even care if it's December 27th, doing a house show on a Monday night. Woof. But there's no SmackDown this Friday, so he gets an extra day before day one. Anakin says, just listening to the show, when Denise squeezed out the poop emoji, I legit thought she was trying to take a big fat shit right there on camera. Thank you, Anakin. And the train says, will Veer come on Vince's egg? Wow.
Oh, God.
Wow.
No.
Vob says, no coming out party for Veer this week as well, but I did see the tweet. Only WWE believes they could transpose the memes made for Hook to Veer. I thought it was funny. But another match I did enjoy, Street Profits versus Mysterios in the RK Bronament Finals. Street Profits get the win. I say this every time when I see Montez Ford do a frog splash. I don't care who you are on the roster. I don't care if you're paying homage to Eddie. I would stop doing it because his is the best. Do the three amigos. Do the senton atomico over the top rope from the apron. Do that. There's a million things you can do to pay homage to Eddie because this guy has the best frog splash there is.
And then do it like, because Montez Ford did it first and then Dominic did it after. And I'm like, no.
And like, Dominic's wasn't bad, but in comparison, yeah, it was really
good. You're being nice.
Maybe.
It was not good.
I've seen some bad frog splashes in my day. Yeah. Like, it wasn't, I don't think he's in the top 10, 15 people that I see doing it right now. Like, I see a billion, I think. Owens is better. I think Sasha's better. Montez is better. And that's just on WWE main roster. He's like got maybe Reigns is better. Like he's not even top five on the main roster, but it was also really close. So I was like, but I wouldn't have done it if I were him. And
opposite of Ford's, because Ford's Rey Mysterio was
the Miz is better.
Oh, God. So like, when Ford hit it, like, usually we're talking about, like, the height and how high up he goes. This time, it was not only how high, but how far he went. Because Rey Mysterio was practically on the other side of the ring, man. That looked great.
And I did think that Dominic did a lot of great work selling on this show. Like, it was, especially that finish. Oh, my God. I will never get tired of seeing that finish. The blockbuster electric chair. Holy crap. And Dominic taking that. Even a year and a half, 2 years in, that's very impressive. Street Profits should have won this. I'm glad they won this. I'm very excited to see RK-Bro versus Street Profits. That's the match I wanted to see.
Everything I liked about this match included Rey Mysterio. So anytime Rey Mysterio was out there, whether it was with Montez or Angelo, didn't matter. I was into it.
We heard from Liv Morgan. How you feeling? About Liv Morgan, because
you confused me. I was like, what?
Becky's not there, so they had to make do. We would see Seth Rollins and Big E promos because they weren't there. We see a lot of this stuff where people aren't there and they got to make do. I'm okay with this stuff because one of the things I like so much about AEW is that we don't see everybody every single week. And I wish that's how more WWE stuff was. Like, we don't need to see everybody every week. But when you got a three-hour show, a little bit harder to do. The Big E one, where he said, this is about me plying my trade and being there every week, led to the Kevin Owens promo that we're going to talk about. But what did you think of WWE's effort to make something out of nothing with the talent who couldn't be there?
You got it. You got to do it. I missed the Liv Morgan one. Did they do one for Liv Morgan?
I believe so. It was in the notes. I don't remember it.
No, because I just saw them play the little vignette video that they did.
Yeah, the promo. Yeah, the video promo. Sorry.
But she didn't do one like Big E and Seth Rollins, though, did she? No,
I don't believe so.
I don't recall seeing that. Okay.
There were video packages for everything tonight.
Yeah. There was the video packages for that. And I tend to zone out of the packages because I'm like, okay, I already saw that. I don't need to see it again. Let's be real.
Yeah.
But in terms of like, I might as well talk about the Kevin Owens one, really. Well, the Big E one, because when Big E was basically saying like, you know, how he's worked so hard and, you know, this and that. And it was a great promo, right? But then, you know, he's basically saying how he's worked so hard and this and that. And then you go back to Kevin Owens and Kevin Owens is like, yeah, he worked so hard, yet I'm the one, he's at home and I'm the one here at work, this and that. That was hilarious. I actually thought everything Kevin Owens did tonight was like phenomenal, especially when he was doing that interview with Kevin and they had the Kevin thing. Yeah,
so that was fantastic. I thought that was one of the highlights of Raw. You have Kevin Owens and he's like, well, that's funny because you talk about being here every single week, Big E. You're not here this week, and you know what? I've been here every week. So this is about my story and my reaction. And he was like, Kevin Patrick, I don't like that name. Come up with a new one. And then he says, your name is Bert. This was one of the highlights of WWE Raw. This was funny. It made sense. It made me like Kevin Owens more, which I don't know if is the goal, but he was working against heels tonight. So that was interesting. He says, I know why Seth isn't here, but I'm not going to say why. This was a great way to promote and get me excited for the show when nobody, Lashley wasn't there tonight either, was he?
Nope.
So Kevin Owens is carrying all of this on his back, and I thought he did a fantastic job.
Yeah, this was really funny. This whole entire segment was great. The Big E promo was great. Kevin's reaction to all of this, even his interaction with the other Kevin, who is now Bert, was great. This was definitely one of the highlights, which is kind of like, when you think about the whole scope of like the highlights in a 3-hour show, it's probably not like the strongest thing, but it was good.
I really enjoyed this. This is so funny. And then we got Kevin Owens coming out and then MVP interrupted. MVP was talking that trash and he was joined by Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin. And Kevin's like, no, I get it. You guys were only relevant when you were with Bobby Lashley and you're trying to get in his good graces. So let's go ahead and fight. And they have a good, fun match, like Cedric wrestling Kevin Owens. It's one of those matches that's like, I didn't know that I needed it until I saw it. Because it very rarely enters my plane of thought because Cedric's rarely on the show, unfortunately. And you know what? Hey, I'd love to see Cedric and Shelton face Orton and Riddle down the line too, but I'd like to see them get some wins. Kevin Owens wins with the stunner, and then Shelton Benjamin says, give me a goddamn mic, and then he gets a stunner too. This, I mean, Cedric and Shelton don't have anything going on. Owens has a world title match. I think this is the right way to go about it.
I do like what they were saying beforehand, where they were basically saying that Bobby Lashley needs the Hurt Business. I liked all of that stuff ahead of everything. The match itself was like, okay, like, it was fine. Good to see Cedric, especially with Kevin Owens. Good stuff. Having Kevin Owens win, cool. Gives him a win, you know, leading up into this day one match, which I'm really looking forward to, actually. I'm really looking forward to that Fatal 4-Way.
It's going to be good.
Yeah. But other than that, I don't really have anything else I want to add about this other than, you know what? They made do with what they had, and we got a nice little couple-minute match out of it. It was fine. It wasn't anything that I was, like, over the moon about, but it was okay.
And I mean, this stuff is going to happen in this climate. Like, you're going to have matches that get delayed and stuff, people that can't make it. It's going to happen. So it's hard for me to hold that against them too much.
And I was expecting it too. The second I saw your report and the second I saw more stuff coming out about that, I knew that this Raw was not going to be, you know, full of a bunch of different things going on. I was expecting this. And I think part of me was expecting a lot. Like, I was expecting a terrible show. And this wasn't a terrible show. It was just mellow show.
It's a show that they were like, oh, shit, we're shorthanded. And they relied a lot on promos and in-ring wrestling instead of goofy stuff. And I thought that worked pretty well. Graham says, is Kevin Owens this generation's Mick Foley? I think that's a very good comparison. He's a genuinely likable guy who falls off of shit and is entertaining.
Does crazy stuff. Not as crazy as Mick Foley, but crazy enough.
Is always entertaining as well. Evan says, I need Shelton to get out of there, man. Give me Shelton versus Dante Martin. Jack Cartwheel, Shelton, Too Cold Scorpio. Need that wild indie run. Too Cold Scorpio is facing Jonathan Gresham for the ROH title, and I'm so excited. That's my favorite worker against my favorite wrestler of all time. So I'm excited for that. But yes, I want to see Shelton Benjamin versus Too Cold Scorpio very, very badly.
Nice guy.
Yeah, Terry Allen Jr. says, why is Otis not allowed to speak to develop?
Because he's mad. He doesn't want to talk. He's mad.
Guys, reminder, get in your Super Chats and your Humper Chats. Go to humperchats.com. If you're watching live and you want more Raw, if you want an angry Raw review, Alex Palowski will be going live on FightfulSelect.com right after this. Rob Reed says, Denise's reaction to my Veer joke was priceless. All my work is done.
Congratulations.
Or Drew said, wish they gave Becky an at-home video message. Do you think these versions of Becky and Seth should be on screen together? Their characters rule. I wouldn't mind it as long as they weren't like in the same storyline. You know what I mean? Like if they interacted with each other and they cut like side-by-side promos, but it wasn't like the Baron Corbin, Lacey Evans integration, I would like that.
You know what? Screw it. I would have just preferred like a 5-minute video. Oh, you know what? If they would have just done a 5-minute tour of their closets at home, I would have been like best Raw segment of 2021.
That would have been great. Like you hear Becky's voice behind the camera. Like she's filming him just going through his closet.
I don't even care if it made sense to the story, man. I'm here for entertainment.
Yeah. Give it to us. We don't care. R26 says, women's wrestling fans not getting anything good tonight sucks. At least Stardom is tomorrow night, and it'll make that better. Oh, buddy, am I I'm a big Siri Kondo fan, and I am, like, so tempted to stay up or get up early to watch that match. Holy crap. Holy crap. So excited for that match. Their last one, was one of the best matches I've seen ever. Miguel Ortiz has booked a flight from Boston to Orlando for Revolution, a.k.a. my first AEW show. Any recommendations to prepare for the show and any possibility I buy an FTF shirt to get it signed by the great Dong Lord? Well, I don't know why the hell you would want me to sign anything, but yes, sure, I would be happy to. As far as recommendations to prepare for the show, AEW pay-per-views are kind of long. You got the 4 hours, you got the half an hour before, and then go ahead, Denise.
I have a big suggestion, Sean.
Okay.
Please, please bring your portable chargers with you. Like you said, AEW shows are freaking long. I would not survive any of those shows without my portable charger. That's how I survive AEW shows. Like, because they're long and I'm tweeting.
That's actually a really good idea. Cyclops. Hold on, one more thing.
Be strategic on when you get your food and when you go to the bathroom because it can make you or break you.
Cyclops says, since the pandemic, Stardom has been better than New Japan. I would agree. Riley says, where do you buy the Stardom show? I would imagine Stardom World. Mike JC says, really curious about why WWE has always had people do their entrance and stand in the ring for three segments. Why do they do this all the time? Mike, buddy, I have asked 100 times and I don't ever get an answer.
Be some possible reasons for that?
They had Priest do it. Priest and Ziggler, and they had Priest cut this really long. It felt really long because he talked really slow. And I love Damian Priest, but it's like, we get it. He's got the duality, the two sides, so to speak. And if you didn't know, they had him talk very, very slow and very drawn out. That way you could establish that he has two sides to him. And then they ended a perfectly good match again, because they'll redo it at day one with a DQ. And it's because they're he's got two sides to him. He got counted out last week and he flipped out. Hey, by the way, he did this promo. He's got two sides to him. Hey, he got DQ'd because he got angry. It's like you should trust these performers to get this over without beating it into our heads like we're stupid.
How many matches has this been now where it's been like DQs and stuff like count outs and all of this? It's been three. I think the last two matches we've seen Damian Priest in
have ended like this. At least the last 2 weeks, for sure. Because
didn't it start the second he started doing that character change? Because that's how the match ended, if I remember correctly.
Nakamura a month ago. So he beat T-Bar by DQ, and they did the no DQ, and he flipped out on him. By the way, where the hell's T-Bar? A couple weeks later, he beat Nakamura by DQ, or Nakamura beat him by DQ, and it kind of started, but...
All right, so it's... It's now, I mean, like, I feel like doing it one time to emphasize the character change. Okay, cool. Maybe doing it a second time. All right, I get it. The guy's snapping. But now doing it, like, multiple times, it's kind of like, okay, well, why am I going to get invested in this match if, hey, we're just going to be seeing the exact same thing? But I will give him credit, though, because I didn't want Damian Priest to do this character. I was really digging, you know, the cool dude with the leather that hangs out with Bad Bunny and, you know, is super chill in the back and is, you know, speaking Spanish and sounding all cool and all of this. And now he's definitely not doing any of that. So I didn't kind of want that, but he's been doing a pretty, you know, decent job with what they've given him. So I'm like, all right, now I just want to see this like skyrocket into something and let's go from there.
Sean Blanford said, should Owen stop doing the stunner if he's going to turn heel? I hope it goes back to the pop-up powerbomb. Hope Veer comes soon. Otherwise, we may need to search local medical facilities after his nuts explode. Owens is already a heel. So, there you go. They just announced on Raw Talk that the Priest Ziggler match happens next week. If he gets DQ'd or counted out, he loses the
title. So, that's the third time now they're going to wrestle?
Yes. Yes, it is. Plus, he wrestled... Rude once, and then he and Balor wrestled the Dirty Dogs as well. So this is the fifth match in that feud, and Priest has won one of them so far. So he'll need to win that. Hovery Duncan says 16 minutes from the Ziggler entrance to the start of the match, then a 10-minute match that ended in DQ. Damn.
Yeah, that's kind of hard, man. There's been times where, like, today, actually, during this match, because when he came out, I was like, okay, this is the match we're going with next, and they did a bunch of stuff, and I was doing my little notes, and then we came back to it, I was like, oh, yeah, this didn't just never happen. We're still on this.
By the way, guys, get in your Super Chats, Humper Chats. We are heading down the home stretch, and, of course, check out manscaped.com, code FIGHTFUL. Graham says, where's the best place to strategically take a big fat shit during the day one pay-per-view asking for a friend? Buddy, you got a phone. So, I mean, you got the Peacock app on that phone.
Take it before you go to an event, man. You don't want to have to use the public restroom.
AJ Styles came out. He talked about Omos, who was not there. That's a bummer. Hard to follow up on stuff when people can't be there. Omos was sent home before the show. And we get Apollo Crews and Commander Aziz, who haven't won anything or done anything in a very long time, which is a bummer because this gimmick sucks so bad. This gimmick is so shitty.
It belongs on NXT 2.0. And that was one of the things that I thought of like right now. Like when we came out, he just didn't fit in with AJ Styles. He didn't even fit in with Grayson Waller, who is on NXT 2.0.
So Grayson Waller is there. And Grayson Waller is... saying, well, you showed up on NXT, so I thought I'd come to your place of business. And, buddy, they are down bad if they're dragging out Grayson Waller from NXT. No disrespect to Grayson Waller, but God, man. Like, to set up him beating up Johnny Gargano, they had him lose, like, six matches. It was so weird. And now they're like, well, he beat up Johnny Gargano, so even though Grayson Waller was losing to everybody under the sun on NXT, he beat up Johnny Gargano when Johnny Gargano was leaving the company. So we're putting him on the same plane as AJ Styles. To me, that was such a leap. He was losing to Boa. He was losing to LA Knight, to Duke Hudson, to Solo Sikoa, to Ciampa. I mean, Ciampa, what's wrong with that? But I mean, like, he was losing to everybody under the sun. I watched him lose on 205 Live every freaking week. Ike Manjiro, Leon Ruff, Joe Gacy, Alex Zane, Odyssey Jones. Everybody was beating Grayson Waller's ass all year long. And now all of a sudden they're like, boom, he beats up Gargano. Here's AJ Styles.
Now, here's my thing. So, you know, when I was reviewing all of these L's that Grayson Waller was taking on NXT, I was upset because out of all of the talent, a lot of the talent that we've been seeing on NXT 2.0 that we're getting wins and we're getting little pushes, I was like, dude, these people suck, right? Yeah. And I actually thought that Grayson Waller, even though he was the one taking all of these L's, I thought he was the one right from the start where I was like, why aren't they pushing this guy? He is good. I liked him. I was instantaneously a fan of his after I saw him wrestle Kushida. And granted, you're in the ring with Kushida, so you're going to look good. But ever since then, I just kept saying, why aren't they pushing this guy? Why aren't they pushing this guy? So when they started pushing Grayson Waller, I was like, hell yeah, I knew it. Like, they should have done it, right from the start. So for me, I've been rooting for Grayson Waller on NXT. I like what Grayson Waller is doing on NXT. So with all of that being said, this feels, I get what, like, having AJ Styles on NXT is okay, good, because at the end of the day, you need to get people to check out the NXT 2.0 brand. A lot of people are not interested. Okay, having AJ Styles might get some sort of interest on that. Cool. But at the same time, it just feels like a massive step down for AJ Styles. A huge step up for Grayson Waller.
Yeah, good
like,
for
this
him.
Is all for, like, all that's happening for him right now, the attack on Johnny Gargano, getting this program with AJ Styles, appearing on Monday Night Raw. The guy is winning. Like, these are all W's for him, okay? Good for him. Yeah, good for him on all of this. But it is a massive step down for AJ Styles, especially considering the fact that he finally broke up with Omos, and we have been waiting for this because we've been wanting him to go in another direction. And this was the thing that I didn't like about this segment. So the reason why I didn't like this is because you have AJ Styles coming out and, you know, he's addressing Omos and that situation. Then it turns into a Grayson Waller situation. Okay. And then it turns into an Apollo Crews Commander. We're supposed to get a match with Commander Aziz, and then that doesn't even happen. So then we end up having this match with Apollo Crews. It was like four different storylines all in one.
Let's get to that. And by the way, Grayson Waller might turn into something good. I've never seen him beat anybody on NXT ever. I don't think he's got a single win on the show ever.
He hasn't. Nope.
No, they won War Games, but it wasn't him that won War Games.
Also, because there was the, when he did that whole Halloween Havoc thing with LA Knight, but LA Knight won that, but then he was stuck in traffic. And then
not only that, LA Knight won that in like 2.5 minutes.
Yeah.
And Boa beat him like a couple weeks later in 2.5 minutes. Not only did I watch Grayson Waller lose, I watched him lose to Duke Hudson and LA Knight and Boa in under 3 minutes. Back to back to back weeks almost. So
yep, they shouldn't have had him lose all those matches.
It is quite a leap for me. And it's also quite a leap for me, as Easy Attack says, did Raw advertise Commander Aziz versus AJ Styles for the match and couldn't even commit to the commercial break? What was up with that? So Denise, FightfulSelect.com tonight, I reported the plans for the show, and it was not AJ and Omos as it was supposed to happen, and it shouldn't have happened tonight. It was AJ Apollo. So I see Commander Aziz come out there and challenge AJ, and I go, what the hell? Did they change that too? No, because during the break, Apollo said, no, I face you. Well, what's the point? Like, are you setting up something for next week? If so, I get it. Sure, fine. But I don't know. I mean, to me, I'll take this over Aziz just beating up AJ and then them setting it up, but... Rob Reed says, having AJ accept Aziz's challenge and switching to Crews during the break was really weird. And they work great. They're good. But this was just weird, Denise.
It was weird. Wait, so hold on. Hold a second. Because I missed the part where they actually switched and said, hey, or did they show
they didn't,
it?
They didn't show it. You come back from the commercial after AJ was like, yeah. And it's just them. It's Apollo and AJ just there.
Okay, no wonder, because I thought to myself, I was like, damn, was I not paying attention? Like, what happened here? Like, I thought I missed when they said, this is the reason why Commander Aziz is not in this match anymore, which I thought was really weird because I was sitting there, you know, watching the show.
And then AJ does the forearm to Aziz. So it's like, okay, well, I don't need to watch them wrestle next week either, because I just watched AJ beat old dude's ass.
And here's the thing, I will say this. Okay, I know you probably don't feel the same way, but I wanted to see Commander Aziz versus AJ Styles more than AJ Styles versus Apollo, because I at least knew that Commander Aziz, he's not, no five-star wrestler, we get it, but I was expecting to see AJ Styles bump like crazy. I knew that's what we were going to get out of this. That's what I was expecting. So I was like, all right, a big guy, AJ Styles, it's going to be decent enough for the show. Cool. So I was kind of looking forward to that.
So I'm kind of with you there. I like Apollo Crews as a performer, as like an in-ring wrestler, and this was a good match in the ring. But they have nerfed him so much, I don't give a shit about that character. And Aziz got up, didn't sell that phenomenal forearm worth of shit, but I wanted to see AJ make chicken salad out of chicken shit. I like watching wrestlers do that. One of the things that was so, I mean, for the love of God, they ran a documentary about Tom McGee versus Bret Hart. There are special things about great wrestlers who are able to take green people and have passable matches with them. So I'm with you. I think that could have been fun, but I got no interest in seeing the match now. Maybe a little bit, but there's no reason.
No, because we were all excited that he was done. AJ Styles was done doing this mid-card stuff with Omos. And now we're just moving on to another big guy. And possibly even, is there going to actually be a match between AJ Styles and Grayson Waller?
Yeah, eventually, I'm sure.
Right, there's got to be. Okay, I wasn't too sure on that. I was like, I don't know if they're just doing this for that. I wasn't expecting to see Grayson Waller on Raw tonight, so I really wasn't sure if we were going to continue to see this or if this was just going to be like a one little appearance thing. No idea.
So Cadillac says, I was legit washing my dishes during the AJ match, and I thought, how is this match still going on? Then I realized Apollo Crews was working. He's great, but my God, like what they have him doing is some of the worst, lamest cartoon bullshit I have seen. And I watch a show that has Baron Corbin and Madcap Moss on it. So, it ain't great. It ain't great. We have Mott saying T-Bar just beat some jobber named Sal in main event. he was named Sal because he looked like the guy from Impractical Jokers. My God. Well, then we got the Miz wedding segment. Miz is backstage and he's directing traffic. He's Bridezilla. Eric Bischoff is back there. And this immediately brings back fond memories of the 3-minute warning, Billy and Chuck wedding. Check out my interview with Chuck Palumbo this Friday here on Fightful, podcast platforms everywhere. And Miz trips as he's getting into the ring. And I loved how he played it off. Like, he's so nervous. It's such a big day for him that he plays it off. And
I popped so hard for that. That was hilarious.
Yeah, the dialogue on this is like, whatever. It was time. It was time killer stuff. That's what it was. It was killing time is what it was.
Here's my pet peeve, Sean. We all know that wrestling weddings are a disaster, but I want to get a disaster that is so bad that I'm like happy that it's so bad because it gives us something to talk about. I'm sorry, but this was so bad because it was boring. They didn't give us anything that was at least like WTF. I can't believe they booked this. At least something like that, Sean. I'm sorry, but I thought the entire wedding was completely boring. I didn't think that, Edge, coming out was anything OMG. It wasn't even blood that came out. I don't even know what that was.
Oh, like, boy. We're getting there. So they exchange their vows. Who could possibly give a shit? Eric Bischoff says, oh, you know what's happening here. And Edge comes out, and I agree with Mike here, and it's something I've been saying for a long time. He says, I can't stand Edge in every feud saying, I'm playing mind games. I'm in your head. Why would you tell someone you're doing that? I agree. Christian's done it too. A lot of people that have retired for years and are coming back do this thing where they go, I'm living rent-free in your head. You are defeating the purpose of playing mind games with somebody. When Goldust would play mind games with people, he wouldn't say, I'm in your head, because that would defeat the very purpose of doing it. You don't do that. Let me tell you, it just doesn't work like that. And he says it every feud. Like, for some reason, WWE has retconned his gimmick. his gimmick was the ultimate opportunist, not the cerebral assassin. The cerebral assassin would get in your head. He would troll you into doing something stupid. He would be a smarmy jackass. Edge would just do something scummy or opportunistic and take what you have. Ooh.
Yeah.
And then there's no point. This is stupid. It's so stupid. The end of this show was so goddamn stupid.
Wasn't it stupid good, though? That's the problem.
No. Air Force Sister says, Broodbath, courtesy of Edge, Ace, and Pitmaster Norm says, you know what that means? It's Monday. You know what that means? Scooey and Poopy are here to make sense of the nonsense. No testing, and Miz vows very evil. Ass Boys and Dark Order, pretty good on Dark Elevator. Well, let me tell you what wasn't good. Edge doing a blood bath, which is now a brood bath, where it's like, it looks like septic overrun.
Yeah.
It's like this dark brown red. If red liquid that very clearly isn't real blood is too scary for your audience, then just don't do it. Just don't do the whole thing. Wait, you think that was the reason? Why wouldn't they do red? What's the purpose?
I don't know. They couldn't get the liquid in time?
What's that? They did this last time, Denise. The last time he did one.
Really? What, yes. When was that? When was the last one? I don't remember.
Oh, God.
No, it wasn't at SummerSlam. No, they did the entrance.
Let's see.
I don't remember the last one.
It was Rollins. When Rollins wore the white suit ahead of SummerSlam.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, I kind of remember.
And he was running around in that black liquid and all that shit. Oh.
Yeah.
And people are saying, sponsors, get the hell out of here. I watch a show where a zombie bites into a person's neck and rips their jugular out with their teeth and blood squirts out. Come on. Get out of here. It's 11 p.m. Eastern. 11 p.m. Eastern. And you can't do fake liquid blood? Get out of here.
Yeah. I looked at it and I was like, what is that? Like melted poo, chocolate? What are we looking at? But it was just such a lame. It was so lame. Like that was the big moment. That was what they promoted this for. Just for that. I'm too old for this. Like I don't even think 10-year-old me would have popped for this. And I popped for everything. This was boring.
Somebody also brought up Shayna versus Becky happened.
Like, yeah, she bit her neck.
Bit her neck.
And she sold that at media interviews.
Luis Polito, our moderator, is like, Chucky is on this channel.
That is true.
Come on, guys.
Chucky is more edgier now than the product.
Guys, be sure to check out FightfulSelect.com. I have a ton of contract news coming this week, not just from one company, from a ton of companies. We've got news every single day. We got shows every single day. We've had some free previews lately. I did a free Q&A preview a couple weeks ago. Did a free Sour Graps preview. We're going to do a free preview of Maggie and Rob Coexist. But we've got some bonus shows as well. Rob Wilkins and Joel Pearl did a retro review of Starrcade 1991. That is now up on Fightful Select. But Denise, tell the people what you got going on.
All right. First and foremost, if you haven't already, please check out my interview with Shawn Michaels. That is a nice 30-minute conversation. I think if you are, you know, curious as to what the hell is going on with NXT, why they made the changes that they made, why they're going the direction that they're going, if you kind of want to get all of that information, I would suggest checking out that interview. It was also just kind of cool to get, more behind the scenes information on all of that type of stuff. So check out that interview. It's on youtube.com/Denise Salcedo. It was literally my biggest interview and a great way to end the year. The biggest interview for the year and a great way to end the year, period. So please check that out. Give it a like, all of that good stuff, because the more, interaction that all of that stuff gets, the more possibilities I have for getting, bigger interviews. On top of that, Speak Now Pro Wrestling Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays on F4W, and then Twitter and Instagram @_Denise Salcedo. I am now less than 2,000 followers away from hitting 50K. I have 5 days left. I don't think it's going to happen, but if you want to go follow, you can.
Guys, thank you all so much. We have a ton of content coming this week. Danhausen, Chuck Palumbo interviews. Those will be up early for Fightful Select Tier 2 subscribers. Also, as mentioned, Danhausen will be on the cover of the next Fightful magazine, and that will be available digitally for all Fightful Select subscribers. So check that out. Air Force Sister 74 says, in all seriousness, you guys are the best. Always enjoy coming here every Monday. Keep up the great job. Guys, thank you all so much. 2021 was a great year for Fightful, and I want to thank you all so much. What?
Sean, I just realized this was our last show of the year.
Yeah.
Sorry, yeah. I just clicked. My bad.
The next time you see Denise and I together, we will be doing day one. But join us Tuesday as myself and Jayshel Nicole make predictions. Until next time, we're out.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.